Thanks, Eliana. And as we kick into the purpose of the session and a brief overview, I again wanted to say thank you to everybody who's in attendance. We really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you to present information about the funding and service types for the Zero Emission Passenger Rail and Trail Project. As we kick off, I wanted to note and introduce the panelists. We have myself, Riley Gerbrandt, Project Manager of the separate project for the RTC. We have Robert Yates, our consultant team HDR. He's Transportation Planning Project Manager. We have a guest speaker, Shannon Simons of Caltrans, Chief of the Office of Rail Planning and Implementation. We also have Tammy Chorn of HDR, who is our Zoom facilitator and tech support. And you've already met Eliana of HDR, who's done a wonderful job letting everybody know the layout for today's information session. So to set the stage, the purpose of today's session, as you see on the screen, is to provide the public and stakeholders an overview of the complex nature of funding major capital improvement projects, such as a passenger rail service. Tonight, we're going to be summarizing the landscape of likely potential funding avenues for the Zero Emission Passenger Rail and Trail Project and highlight a few key aspects of specific funding sources, such as providing information on the relatively new Federal Railroad Administration Corridor Identification and Development Corridor ID program. And to provide a recap of the Zero Emission Passenger Rail and Trail Project, on the screen you'll see our project footprint, our project study area. We're aiming to provide new high-capacity passenger rail service and stations on approximately 22 miles of the Santa Cruz Branch rail line. This would provide service from Pajaros Station in northern Monterey County to the city of Santa Cruz in central Santa Cruz County. The project would also add 12 new miles of coastal rail trail, segments 13 through 20, as well as the Capitola Trestle Reach segment 11, phase 2 for the coastal rail trail. And on the screen on the map, the dark blue line would be the passenger rail service project study area, and the green line with the dotted center is the study area for the proposed coastal rail trail portions that are part of the project. And our project overview schedule is on the screen. We're currently in what we call task one from the project concept report. That's the light blue at the top of the screen. The project concept report includes some preliminary environmental screening, but we will do the bulk of that as well as the alternatives analysis and the preliminary engineering as part of the PE and environmental analysis section, which are the green portions on the screen, which would lead to an opportunity for project approval, after which we could enter into right away and final design and then construction. So we're talking about that first part of the screen. And so with that, we have entering into the bulk of today's information session, which is going to be funding and service types. And we're going to have Robert Yates of HDR kick us off with that.
Good evening. Thank you, Riley. So funding on major capital improvements such as this involves a combination of discretionary and formula funding at the federal and the state and the local levels, and would include a local sales tax measure directed specifically towards transportation improvements. Many of these grants, while they offer 80%, these programs are highly oversubscribed, and therefore these federal agencies tend to spread out their amounts less than what was requested for a project. So what that will require then is for this particular project to have available multiple funding sources, and that would go towards the completion of preliminary engineering, construction, And then with potentially local formula funds and a sales tax measure, operations and maintenance. These funding programs are oriented and towards identifying and developing new or improved inner city passenger rail service. These services are envisioned in the state rail plan and also the FRA's corridor ID program. The goal here is to align the branch line passenger rail service with the state rail plan, and that would maximize funding eligibility and technical support through not only the state program, but also with federal programs going forward. And I'll turn it over to Shannon to talk about the corridor ID program.
Thank you. I'm going to start with just a quick context on the state rail plan, especially since it was mentioned. So next slide, please. The California State Rail Plan, this is a real quick summary of this, but want to focus on these three basic components. So the first is that the rail plan is designed as an integrated statewide network. So this includes high-speed rail serving those longer distance trips with inner city and regional services, providing that mobility for local and regional travel and really being able to extend the reach of the high-speed rail backbone. It also includes integrated express bus services, inner city bus services, to fill some of those lower ridership times in the schedule, as well as provide connections to more rural communities across the state, and also provide for rail network connections using the highway network. One of the other main principles in the rail plan is that it's all designed to be coordinated schedules. So what this means is regular, what we call pulsed service, meaning that it's predictable and operating on the clock face. So it always arrives at 5 after the hour. It will always arrive at 5 after the hour and basically pulse into and out of a key transfer hub. The idea by coordinating schedules at these key hubs is that we can really make targeted and seamless transfers between services, not just between rail services, but with working with local transit agencies to ensure that those local services can connect in and feed people back to their final destinations. And then lastly, the rail plan is meant to be customer focused. So again, designing for those first and last mile connections, working on our California Integrated Travel Project, which includes integrated ticketing and trip planning, as well as contactless and simplified payments. And then really focusing on making the entire state rail network both competitive in terms of trip times, cost, and comfort for both auto trips and air travel. Next slide. So one of the new tools that we have to implement the rail plan is the corridor identification program. This came out of the bipartisan infrastructure law, and these were the rail development goals in that program. Tonight, I'm just going to focus on that bottom purple triangle, which is to build the foundation for a long-term rail program. Next slide. So the FRA, the Federal Railroad Administration, has identified the project lifecycle of the corresponding funding program. So the purple arrow systems planning, we really see that as the rail plan. So the California State Rail Plan has done a lot of the base technical work to provide the long-term vision, as well as a near and midterm set of service and capital goals that set kind of the framework and the inputs for this next stage, which is the development stages. This is where corridor ID comes in, project planning and project development. Once we get through that, which I'll explain more in a minute, then you move into the implementation stages, which is the final design and construction. And the corridor ID program sets up the opportunities for federal state partnership and other national and statewide funding programs. And then lastly, operations, really the federal program available for this is the Restoration and Enhancement Funding Program. Next slide. Oh, yep, sorry. I should have been telling you to click through all of those things. Here are the funding programs associated with these development stages. Yep, and that's where we are. You can just click through all four of these. Yeah, thank you. So the corridor identification program is a partnership with corridor sponsors to develop a strategic plan for improving and expanding passenger rail across the country. Corridor ID provides sustained support of the selected corridors through planning and those project development stages that I mentioned. Projects on the project pipeline that come out of that planning work are fully developed in this program and then benefit from priority selection under the federal state partnership program, which is going to be a very significant construction and final design opportunity for intercity passenger rail across the country. And then there's a pipeline of projects that show the untapped potential investments. We continue to show how the investment in passenger rail will result in tangible benefits nationwide. Next slide. So the California Corridor ID program overview is very exciting. So the rail plan, again, sets forward that vision for the corridors. And then I just want to reiterate that the Corridor ID program really is intended to develop this sustained and comprehensive intercity passenger rail planning. I think we're most excited about the opportunity to kind of get in partnership with the federal government in a process that is sustained beyond just one part of a program or a phase of a project. And again, it sets forth the capital project pipeline ready for federal funding. So the Corridor ID program and service development planning is the main part that we're moving into next. So the service development plans, or the SDPs, establish the service concepts and necessary capital projects to operate a service. The SDPs will identify phased infrastructure investments to accomplish the service goals that are identified both in the rail plan and then throughout the SDP. And one more click. The Corridor ID program will really provide this model framework for rail planning and capital project implementation across the state's rail network. Next slide. So in California, Caltrans was awarded as the sponsor for the five corridors listed in blue. So we have the Central Coast Corridor, the Coachella Valley Corridor, the Capital Corridor, the Losan Corridor, and then the San Joaquin Valley Corridor. The four at the bottom were awarded to other partners for corridors that are either fully or partially in California, including high-speed rail, California high-speed rail, as well as Brightline high-speed rail to Las Vegas. And obviously the focus here is on the Central Coast Corridor. So the Central Coast Corridor in this program starts in San Jose and goes down to San Luis Obispo with the extension on the Santa Cruz branch line. So this program has already included this project into the federal Corridor ID project, which means that we are already in the pipeline for this planning, as long as the project, you know, is described along the criteria for the federal program as intercity passenger rail with these connections to the state network. Next slide. So this is quickly what the Corridor ID program development stages look like. So the first step is scoping. So the Federal Railroad Administration awarded funding to each of the 69 corridors across the country to do scoping, which includes a very detailed analysis of work done to date on each of these corridors so that we are ensuring that we're not duplicating any work and that we're able to build off of all of the work that's already been done, including the work on this project. Once we have agreed upon what additional work needs to happen to develop a service development plan with the Federal Railroad Administration, then we move into step two, which is the service development planning portion. And I have a slide that will show you all of those components. And then once you're done with that, step three is the preliminary engineering and environmental process. So all of this is part of Corridor ID. So once you're in through step three, but each step will have a separate grant agreement. So we'll be working through that with our partners in the program. Next up. Slide. And actually, you can just click through all of these. Sorry. So step one, again, is the scoping of the service development plan. We're using the statement of work framework that the FRA has designed to develop a scope, a schedule, and a budget for the corridor SDP, again, accounting for all that work done to date. After step one, the FRA will review the work undertaken to date and then work with us again to deliver that scope, schedule, and budget for the service development plan. More clicks. So the schedule and the budget influence that 10% match in step two. So step two is preparing or updating the service development plan, which is a 90% federal match. And in this case, Caltrans and the state are providing the other 10% match. So for our rail partners in California, this is basically continuing to be a fully funded program through service development planning. So the sponsor, so Caltrans and our partners, will develop the SDP in accordance with the scope of work framework. And then we get into the exciting part, right? So after the final SDP, we will have a capital project inventory as part of a phased implementation plan. And the capital projects identified in the service development plan may then advance on to step three, which is the project development. And so this is at the FRA's discretion based on some project readiness, which includes things like, it includes things like additional funding, For the construction phases, governance sorted out, risk assessment, host railroad agreements, things like that. But once we have determined that capital project inventory, that goes into determining what the full budget for step three is going to be, which again is an 80% match from the federal government and 20% to be split, you know, between the local agencies and the state. And so then in coordination with the FRA, the sponsor and the partner agencies will complete preliminary engineering for the capital projects in that phased implementation plan. And the sponsor will complete environmental review in accordance with NEPA guidelines with the FRA. And then at the end of all of this, capital projects that complete step three will move to the project pipeline and may be prioritized for funding under the Fed-State Partnership Program. Next slide. Don't need to belabor this too much, but just wanted to give a snapshot of the components, everything that goes into this project. So it is a very thorough and detailed technical planning process, but much of the work that is being done through this separate project will be provided as inputs and boxes that we can effectively check on some of these tasks for the Santa Cruz portion of this corridor. And so the FRA really wants to be meeting the project sponsors and the corridors where they're at and making sure that we're building off of all the good work that's been done to date to really expedite and get funding out the door as quickly as possible for very, for solid intercity rail passenger programs that can help us meet our mobility, equity, and climate goals. Next slide. And so the next steps for us, all of this is, again, kind of under the state rail plan implementation umbrella. So Corridor ID, again, will provide that model framework for rail planning and capital project implementation across the entire state's network. And we're excited to work with the FRA to create that pipeline to be eligible for significant federal funding and really leverage the state funding that we've already invested over the past decade and will continue to in the future. It's also laying the framework for growth. So our service-led planning that we will refine in each of these corridors through Corridor ID will help us to continue to increase efficiencies and inform fleet decisions, capital investments, phased implementation. All of this supports the Caltrans zero emission strategy for intercity passenger rail and sets the course to develop and deploy zero emission trains to California beyond just the Caltrain and California high-speed rail networks. And then really using this to increase the utilization of the rail plan. We plan to develop web-based components of this and increase transparency in tracking our project progress and funding commitments so that we're better able to communicate the status of all of these projects to the public and to our partners so that we can continue to move the projects forward as efficiently as possible. And with that, I will hand it back to Riley. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Shannon. It's exciting stuff. And we'll have opportunity for some Q&A coming up in a few minutes. But before we get to that, I wanted to share some exciting engagement opportunities with the public that we have coming up. So we are on the Zero Emission Passenger Rail and Trail Project, coming up to milestone number 3 in the project. And we have community engagement opportunities coming up. We have this informational session tonight. And then we also have a second informational community session scheduled for next week, Monday the 28th, also starting at 6:00. And it will focus on the ridership approach and also provide opportunity for Q&A as part of that information session. And then in mid-November, we will have our virtual open house for milestone number 3. And that virtual open house, similar to the previous milestones, will be open for several weeks. This one will close on December 20th. And we will be receiving and compiling the input and questions and feedback from the virtual open house through that entire period in which it's open. And then we will also have community workshops on November 12th and 13th. November 12th will be in Watsonville and November 13th will be in Santa Cruz, and those will be in the evening. We'll be coming out to the public with some e-blasts and some notices with additional information closer to those dates. And then we will have our commission public hearing on December 7th, where we'll be presenting on the engagement milestone number 3 information, and then also receiving public and commissioner input during that during that time. And then I wanted to also put on the screen where we're at in the project concept report schedule. We are moving into milestone number 3, where we have our ongoing conceptual alignment updates, and we'll also be coming to the public with station locations and features, receiving public comments and input on those items. And as I mentioned before, also discussing our ridership approach and how we're doing that modeling for the project. And then in winter 2025, we'll be bringing forth the draft project concept report, as well as the preliminary cost estimates and the next steps for project development, with the project looking to complete in spring of 2025, moving into the early summer 2025.